That was kind of a sobering ending. Isn't it good, though, to have so many accomplished and faithful men in charge of the church affairs? I feel good about it. Hope you all do, too. Well, brethren, this split sermon today will probably be my swan song and see you later speaking assignment here in West Palm Beach. Debbie and I are set to close the sale of our home here as well as in Conyers, Georgia, within the next 2 weeks or so. We'll be moving, as most of you know, in order to be closer to our children and grandchildren. We want you to know we love all of you here, but none of you are Noah or Gracie. We're going to be going over to Bob and Sue's house later today and sign our lives away. I do want to thank Bob and Sue. They've been wonderful. They've been great. They've been calming in a sea of tranquility. They've been a sea of tranquility and a sea of rough waves. And I want to thank them personally. They've been great. As soon as we close on the house, I will most likely be moving first. If we close during the upcoming worldly holiday season, whatever they call that, Debbie will be coming up with me to begin work on the remodeling and upgrades we need to do in the house. There's always something to do, isn't there? There is no perfect house. After that, I will probably not be back. I will be asking Mr. Hafley to remove me from the speaking schedule, and you all have to suffer through without me. It's going to be tough. The good news for all of you is that after the 2 week break or so, Debbie will be back for a while. So you will have the pleasure of seeing her lovely smiling face back here for a while until we get our finances in order during that transition. We do have a slight issue with the inspection report that came back that might cause a bump in the road, but we still expect to close this month. Now, we'll be here next week to lead songs, but after that, no guarantees. So I expect boisterous singing next week. I'm going to pick a bunch of songs we never sang before. No, I'm kidding. As this is my swan song here in West Palm, I wanted to take some time to say to all of you how much Deb and I love you all and how much we've enjoyed fellowshipping with you and worshiping with you every Sabbath day. It has been our honor and privilege to serve you and serve with you all these years. We certainly hope and expect to see many of you at Kagwa feast sites over the next years or so, as much time as God will give me. We will most likely attend the feast at Orange Beach next year, for sure, and we hope to see some of you there. I say Kagwa feast sites because this is where we intend to stay, barring an as yet unforeseen tragedy or spiritual breakup as has happened in the past. We do not see that happening again, and certainly not in the way it has happened in the past. We both intend to stay the course and fight the good fight to the end, just as our Lord and Savior taught us. Hopefully and prayerfully, God will allow me to have my 70 so that I can continue to endure and also so that I can be an influence on my children and grandchildren, especially so that I can teach them God's way as He's commanded. Got to be close to do that. And brethren, we pray for all the same for each and every one of you in this room and some that are on here today. I have great hope and faith in all of you. All of you in this room have already proven to me your love for God and His word and His way. That's why you're still here. Elsewise, you would not be sitting in this room right now. All of you have already endured the lies and the deceit that Satan has exposed us to, even in the church. All of you in this room have shown yourselves to be above reproach in your knowledge of God's word and His plan. You've already shown your unwavering obedience to God, your love for Him, and your faithful endurance to love and obey God in spite of Satan's attempts to draw us away through subtlety and deceit, as it says in the Bible. A lot of you didn't even question it. You just moved on. I was so proud of all of you. If you did not have that, you would not be in this room today. I commend all of you in the West Palm Beach congregation for your faithfulness to God and His Word through trials and tests. Thank you all. I speak today to encourage all of us to continue striving along that same path. The Bible says we must strive. It requires hard work. It requires dedication and discipline to remain faithful to God. And we in this room have shown it, and we must continue to show it. As this world gets darker and more evil with each passing year. I speak today to encourage us all to continue to walk that straight and narrow path that leads to life. The path that Jesus says is the only way that leads to life. Do not be deceived. Do not be fooled. There will be more attempts made. And I know all of you are prepared for it. I just want to encourage us today. Let us not give up, brethren. Remember the words of Jimmy Valvano. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. Jesus, of course, told us the same thing centuries before Valvano thought of it. First scripture today is Matthew 7. Matthew 7 and verse 13. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 13. The words of Jesus Christ in red in my Bible. He says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction." Anybody can go there. "And there are many who go in by it," Jesus says. A lot of people take the easy way, but it's not the right way. It's not the correct way. Verse 14 says, "Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it." And some of those are sitting in this room right now. You found it. Please don't give up on it. Please don't lose it. Brethren, we are some of that few. We have to enter into life through the narrow and difficult path. Nobody said it was easy to be a Christian. No one ever said that being a true follower of Jesus would be or should be easy. In fact, we were told the opposite when we were counseled for baptism, were we not? Let us continue, brethren, to follow these instructions and keep them in the forefront of our hearts and minds throughout our lives, however much longer God gives us. Don't forget why you're here today, what you've been through to get here today. I know you all have that now. That is why you're still here. I remember before the first breakup of the church that I was personally involved in. Someone said to me, "Why are you leaving? They just made it being a Christian easier." You all get it. I still remember when he said that to me, that this same scripture popped into my head. There were other scriptures you could have used, but this is the one that popped into my head. I repeated it to him. And sadly, what I said seemed to go right over his head. And this is somebody who had been attending for years. And I mean decades, brethren. Of course, as I said, there are many other scriptures that could have been used. This is the one that occurred to me. And I want to make the point that we do not fall for the schemes of men, no matter how clever or how logical they may appear to be. If they violate the word of God, we must reject them. Ephesians, next scripture, Ephesians chapter 4. Sorry, I still do things the old-fashioned way, brethren. I write everything out, and I got to turn there. I don't put the quote in my notes. I'm going to turn to the exact scripture with all of you. Ephesians chapter 4. In chapter 4, verse 1, he says, "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord," Paul speaking, "beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called." That is a tremendous statement right there. Think about that for a minute. Walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Everything in here fits in that sentence. verse 14 of chapter 4. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every word of doctrine or every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. We've been around that as long as I've been in the church. Somebody found some new truth. Somebody's got something you didn't realize before. Did you know this was in the Bible? No, I didn't. You think God knows it's in the Bible? We have to pay attention. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, and we're going to spend more time on this word truth, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. That is the goal. That is the mark. That is our purpose. That is our plan. Men will say things that may sound good and even logical. We've heard it before. Oh, that's Old Testament. Oh, well, we misinterpreted that scripture. Remember that one? Mm-hmm. We must not be fooled by the spirit behind the words, brethren. We must ask ourselves how what they are saying or doing lines up with the Word of God. That requires that we know what the Word of God is. There was an example during our second breakup that I was personally involved in. I know many of you also were too. And that is someone speaking right, but doing wrong. 1 Corinthians 5, and this scripture has been read before. Nothing new here, brethren. This is supposed to be encouraging today. No new truth here. 1 Corinthians 5, beginning in verse 9, and this is the Apostle Paul who dealt with a lot of this stuff all the time. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 9. Paul says, I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Keep reading, verse 10. Yet, I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world. We can't live on the moon. Okay? Or with the covetous or extortioners or adulterers, since then you would need to go out of the world. He said, but now I have willed you to, I can't even read it. I'm getting tears in my eyes. But now I've written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother. People who say and do, or claim to do and say, the same things we do. There's a lot of them out there on the internet. They teach the same stuff we do. Who is sexually immoral, or covetousness, or an idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. Don't have anything to do with somebody who tries to tell you something that's different from this book, even though they may say they believe what you believe. Are they living it? Are they showing it in their life, or are they just talking the talk? Saying the right but doing the wrong is another device Satan uses to entice beings away from the one true way. Let us, brethren, never be fooled by someone saying the right thing, but by doing or walking unfaithfully in God's way of life. Here we are told to have nothing to do with them. Matthew 15. Turn to Matthew 15. Some of us can be hard, brethren, because we like these people, and they know the truth. They're preaching the truth every Sabbath. Are they? Their words are preaching it. Are their lives preaching it? Are their deeds preaching it? Matthew 15, verse 7. The words of Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, the author of this book. First word out of his mouth, hypocrites. Who are they? Are they people in the world? No. Hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth. They talk good, they preach good, keep the holy days and the Sabbath, and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Well, you know, unclean meats is not that important anymore. Really? Where does it say that? Well, it's not a big one, it's a small one. Really? Where does it say that? James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 22. These are the apostles begging and pleading with the followers, brethren, to keep to the faith once delivered. And what is that faith? Is it just words and speaking well? James chapter 1, verse 22. He says, but be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving who? Yourselves. You think you're fooling God? Is God fooled by people who speak well but don't do well? Verse 23, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. So if I'm up here preaching the word, when I sit down, I'm done. I don't have to live God's way anymore. Don't be fooled by those kind of people, brethren. Hope we won't, and you haven't been. That's why you're here, and I have faith that you won't be. We must remember also, brethren, how it is that we can recognize these people. Turn back to Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 15. Again, the words of Jesus Christ. These are the words we must stick to, know, understand, know them, and know that we know them. Matthew chapter 7, 15. Christ said, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Oh, look at me. I've got my own website. Look at me. I've got my own TV show. Verse 16, you will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit. We can know them by their fruits, brethren. So says our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The things that they say or the things that they do are both. Their fruits are their actions. What they say is not enough. What they do and how they justify it by the word of God should be the test. And I know you all know that. That's why you're still here. We should ask ourselves how what they say and what they do measures up to the fruits of the Spirit. If they want me to follow them or believe them, I won't turn there, but you can write down Galatians 5, 22 to 25, where the fruits of the Spirit are plainly spelled out. Are the things they're saying in line with those fruits? Are the things that they are doing in line with those fruits? Brethren, we can know truth from deceit by these things that God's Spirit gives us. People say sometimes, well, we cannot know their heart. Well, we can if they violate the word of God over and over and over and over and over again, after being told over and over and over and over again. Turn to Acts chapter 8. There's a couple of examples here where Peter told them what was in their heart. I'll read one of them. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse number 20. This is the Apostle Peter speaking. Pretty discerning person. Discernment's one of God's gifts. Acts chapter 8, verse 20. Peter said to him, your money perish with you, because you thought the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this manner. What did he say next? For your heart is not right in the sight of God. He told them what was in his heart. He could tell. Peter understood this guy's heart, and he warned him to repent. Of course, there is always hope that the person will repent at some point, but we can judge their behavior, and our behavior is rooted in our hearts. Behavior is a window to the heart. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit is good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. You can see the evidence in their life. We must remain diligent and observe how people, especially those called brethren, live their lives and not just listen to the words they're speaking. Especially if they try to lead us away from the eternal truths we have all been taught all these years. We say it can't happen. It's happened twice in my experience. That is a true test. Follow me as I follow Christ, Paul said. Let this mind be in you, Paul said. Philippians 2. Philippians 2. Philippians 2, 5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Is the person you're listening to or watching, is this describe him or her? Go down to verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining or disputing. The person you're listening to or watching, is he grumbling, complaining, disputing? Well, I know better than the elders do. I know better than the council does. Or maybe you do in some places. But can you prove it? What is that mind, brethren? The mind of Christ is a mind filled with love. Love for all. Brethren, I pray, if there is another schism in the Church of God attempted by Satan, I do not see it happening, but maybe by someone seeking a leadership position, whatever, I pray that we would all ask ourselves this question. Is this thing being said, or is this thing being done, showing the love of God? God is love, brethren, and we must show that love in all our relationships. If what we are seeing or being told is not done in godly love and reflect godly love, it must be rejected. Is the thing being said or done by us or others claiming to be brethren designed to draw us away? We must ask ourselves, does it fit the scripture? Does it fit the loving mind of Christ? If not, we must reject it outright. And we have, and that's why you all are here today. We must grow and develop the mind of Christ for discernment to be used in judgment. It is a loving mind that seeks only good and obedience for us and others. Also, brethren, in order not to be swayed by deceit, we must also be absolutely convinced that we know God's word, his plan, and our part in his plan. We must know and know that we know what the will of God is. God gave us his Ten Commandments for life to live. Do we know them? Can you name them in order? Can we show them to others and explain them from the Old and the New Testament? Are you confident you can do that? Surrounded by a bunch of people that are hostile? Can we show them an action in the Old and New Testament and that God expects us all to keep them today and forever? Can we give an answer when we are asked? Not to convert somebody, but if and when they ask or want to disagree with you, as has happened to most of us here, can you answer boldly and without fear or doubt? And you can walk away satisfied whether or not you convince them. Does this type of discussion induce doubt and fear in our hearts and minds, or does it strengthen our resolve and our faith? We also need to know, brethren, what we believe and why we believe it. The more sure we are about the truths that we believe, the more convinced we are about what we believe and why, and the less likely we are to be taken away from it by lies and deceit. crafty to see. Satan is very, very smart and very crafty, brethren. You notice each breakup in the church has been more and more subtle. The less likely we are to lose hope and lose our determination to keep the faith once delivered, and the more likely to fight the good fight until the end if we know what we know and know that we know it. The Church of God Worldwide Association has also published a list of 20 fundamental beliefs. Do we know them? Do we know them all? Do we believe them all? Can we recite them? Can we explain these to others? These are the fundamental beliefs that separate us from other churches and other churchianity. And even those that claim to preach the same things that we do. Have we reviewed them? Can we demonstrate their validity to others who ask us today? If we cannot do that, then our faith is in question, and I would ask why we're here today. If someone challenges the validity of any of our beliefs, can we give positive proofs that any or all of our fundamental beliefs are valid and applicable to all time and to all people? If we can do that, brethren, then we are less likely to stumble and to be fooled by deceit. Knowledge plus wisdom equals strength. What did Paul believe, the apostle to the Gentiles? Acts 24. This is a good place to start. Paul, remember, this is New Testament. Christ has been dead many years now. People say, well, the law is done away. Well, here's Paul the apostle to the Gentiles saying something completely opposite. Acts 24 and verse 14. He's talking to the emperor. 24:14. But this I confess to you, that according to the way, capital W, which they call a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing, what did he believe? All things. Some things, many things. I believe all things which are written in the law and the prophets. That's what Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, said. In front of all Rome, basically. Can we say this? Are we a disciple? Can we prove it with boldness and confidence? Same book, Acts chapter 4. Turn a few pages back to chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 29. Acts chapter 4, verse 29. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. Boldness. We don't hide in the corner if we're challenged or questioned. Somebody says, well, that's not in the Bible. You can say, yes, it is. 30, by stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word with timidity or fear. No. They spoke the word of God with boldness. Mr. Employer, I can't work on the Sabbath. Period, end. And remember, brethren, the book of Acts is still being written about us as God watches us. If we are this way, brethren, we will never stumble. We will never stumble and be drawn away if we do these things. 2 Peter 1, verse 5. Peter was always strong personality, but he got even stronger in the right way towards the end. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith, faith is obedience, virtue. To virtue, knowledge. Know what you know and know that you know it. Verse 6, to knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. It's getting harder climbing the stairs. Verse 7, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For, he says, verse 8, if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from all his sins. Therefore, brethren, he's writing to all of us, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. How do you do that? Through knowledge and wisdom. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. And so far, none of us have. We're all still here. So if we do not know all Ten Commandments, well, let us learn them. If we are not familiar with the 20 fundamental beliefs of the Church of God, let us learn them and be familiar with them. Let us know them and believe them and teach them to others so that we may never stumble. It's good to review, brethren, what you think you know. And teaching others also helps us grow deeper in faith. I learned as an instructor that teaching other people how to do things strengthened me as well, because you learn where the pitfalls are. You know, the best coaches in athletics are not the most natural athletes. The best coaches are the ones who had to think about it a lot. Michael Jordan cannot teach you how to play like him. That's a gift from God. Okay? The best coaches thought about the game, all the mechanics, and they put it together so they can teach you what they have thought about for all the time, for years and years. We can do the same thing as instructors also and strengthen ourselves as well. Brethren, I hope that all of you will be blessed by God as the years go by. We will always have a fondness for you in West Palm Beach, and you will always be in our prayers. I know that we all have issues. Everybody here has issues that we are dealing with in our lives, and we all need God's help. We will pray for you all, and I ask that you pray for us as well, as we are separate from, but do not abandon each other. I pray that our faith does not waver and our diligence will not decrease. We pray that the love of God will continue to be shed abroad in all of our hearts. We pray that the love of God will continue to teach us all God's love, so that we have more and more of it within us to give. I pray that he'll help us to recognize love when we see it, but also recognize it when we do not see it. Brethren, this world is becoming colder and darker and more evil as each year passes. We must fight against that pull, wherever it comes from, within or without. We are the people of God, God's chosen and elect. God expects us to be lights to this evil, darkening world and to lead the world in the way that it should go. This is the way, walking in it. To do that, we must be well grounded in the solid foundation of his word of truth. We must know that word. We must know what we know, and we must know and be sure that we know it. And God must know that too. And God must know that we know it and that we are able to do it, so that one day he will say to the world, we will say to the world, this is the way, walk ye in it. One last scripture before I sit down for the last time. Well, not for the last time, but last time here. Wow. Ugh. All right. Ephesians 4, once again. Ephesians 4, 1. We were here before, and I think it bears repeating. Ephesians 4, 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, brethren, to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. We have responsibility, brethren, to walk worthy of the Lord and all that that means. To know his word and to know that we know it. Therefore, we will never stumble. Brethren, it has been our pleasure to fellowship with you. Thank you for the love you have shown us Hicks from Port St. Lucie. Somebody got it. Okay. Thank you for our love for us and for God, his plan, and our part in his plan. We hope to see as many of you as possible over the coming years, however many more God will give us. And I urge you, and I urge all of us, to walk worthy of the Lord and to hold fast the faith once delivered. God be with you till we meet again.